ESPN 850, WKNR Cleveland. Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
What a week it has been, Matt Wilhelm, but the week comes to a conclusion today. Three candidates have already been officially confirmed by the Browns as getting interviews. Adam Gase, Terrell Austin, Doug Marrone. We should have four more by the end of the weekend.
Sean McDermott.
Hugh Jackson.
Paul Gunther.
And Jerome Henderson reportedly going to be interviewed by the Browns today. The defensive back coach for the Dallas Cowboys, who was a defensive back coach here for the Cleveland Browns from 2009 to 2011. We are very excited to be with you here on this show today. We've got a lot lined up for you here. At 1:30, the godfather, the man who birthed Cleveland Browns Daily from his loins, the notorious VIC, Vic Carucci, is with us at 1:30. He'll talk about Doug Marrone, the NFL playoffs, what's going on with Rex Ryan and the Buffalo Bills. And then at 2 o'clock, Ben Alomar, the director of sports analytics for ESPN and author of Sports Analytics, a guide for managers, coaches, and other decision makers, will be with us. He had a great article on ESPN.com today about how Paul DePodesta can help the Browns. I retweeted that on my account, at Nathan Zagura, so you can look for it there. Absolutely a must read. We will have the Friday forecast. We will have the game predictions. As I surged to the lead last week, going 5-1 against the kid.
Did you hit the window?
I wish I was at the proverbial window. If I was at the window, we'd have a private jet right now, mon frere. That's what I'm talking about. So, wild card weekend's here. We'll talk about the games. The coaching search continues. We'll talk about that. And then the question you asked yesterday, which I think we should incorporate into the Friday forecast, Gibbs, when the kid is here. Powerball, A, are you buying a ticket? And B, if you won, what would he do with it? Did any of you guys see the news reporter who asked the wrong person?
Yes, it was fantastic.
What he would do. It was awesome. I don't think we can talk about what he said on the air.
Why not?
Go ahead.
So this reporter asked this gentleman. She asked him one question, you know, about
his odds.
His odds. What, 1 in 262 million?
Yeah.
And then followed up the question as he goes back to continue filling out his numbers, and she says, "What would you do? What would the first thing you would do? Right? Was it the first thing, or what would you do with the money?"
Give this is gonna be good.
And it would be. Did he say a lot of, or some of?
He said a lot of,
an illicit drug that is very similar to baby powder,
and the oldest profession in the world,
that is ultimately illegal, which is have a lot of fun with women that get paid.
Yes. Well, apparently you are going to talk about it on the air.
That was you couldn't have said it any better.
It's tactfully done. But it was one of the funniest clips ever. So we need to talk about what we would all do. Are you going to buy a Powerball ticket and what you would do if you win? I mean, if you win, I think it's certainly worth it. I mean, apparently it went up from 700 to 800 million because $100 million of tickets were bought with nobody winning.
That's crazy, man. It's now what?
800 million.
You got to at least buy one.
Where do you even buy them at? Just like
when is the drawing?
Any gas store station?
Yeah.
When's the drawing?
Tomorrow night at like 11 o'clock.
Okay.
Don't throw the ticket out. Would it be the worst if you like bought the ticket and threw it out?
But you can win if you have like four numbers. Like there were like seven or eight people that won like $1 million because they had four or five numbers. I don't know how it all works.
Boring.
I don't either.
I'll take $1 million.
I guess I was listening to, it might have been, actually it was RBS yesterday. And Riz was talking about, you know, this very similar topic. And Rizzo came up and said that the likelihood that an airplane lands on the roof of the Galleria Mall, the Galleria Studio, there is more likelihood that an airplane crash lands, emergency lands on top of the Galleria Mall than it is for you to win the Powerball.
Oh, yeah, you have a way better chance of being murdered by a vending machine than you do of winning Powerball.
And that's why. And that's why, for me personally, I'm going to buy one or two tickets.
It's entertainment.
$2, what is it, a dollar?
$2 each.
$2 each. I'll
I'm
buy
not
going to
buy like $20 worth of tickets.
No.
That's stupid.
Here's
that,
my
your
ticket.
Odds,
if
that does
win,
not change
I
your
win.
Odds at all.
No. You're actually better off. You have better odds when it's lower, when it's only like $2 million or $3
million. And Riz brought up another great point, and it's so funny how people will only go buy their one ticket when it's this big, right?
Yeah.
And in today's world where...
Well, I'm going to do that.
The oh, I know, but I'm expounding on that. In today's world where, you know, the median income is somewhere between $30,000 and $45,000 for an American, right? And when the Powerball's only $4 million, they're going to keep that $2 in their pocket and not take a shot at getting rich on $4 million. They're going to wait till it gets up to $800.
Listen, man, $800 million. You do a lot with that.
Even if I had to split it with like 10 or 12 other people
who
that
cares?
Won.
Give me $50 million.
Exactly.
I'd split it with 100 people. If I could get $8 million.
The thing that boggles my mind is why would you even.
$1 million?
Why would you take the payments? Why would you even think of taking payments?
Well, at this big, you don't take the payments. You take the lump sum and then you invest it in something that can earn you a good, 4 to 5% return. And you can.
You just live like off of the.
If you got 100, you took the taxes, and let's say they left you with, we'll call it 400 for just easy math sake. So you got 50% of it. You gave 50% away in taxes or paid 50% in taxes. If you had something that was earning you, let's just say conservatively, 2% a year, okay? That's $8 million a year that you're making without ever having to touch your money. That'll be
I'm in.
But the thing, and again, we'll get into this later in the show.
And by the way, if I win... I want you to know, Gibbs, Wilhelm, and the kid, I'll give each of you $1 million.
Well, and again, we'll get into it deeper, and obviously...
Nobody's even going to pay say the same thing back for me? I'm dead serious.
Hold on, I'm talking right now.
Okay.
Here's what the thought process right now in me receiving $400 million tax-free, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. $300 million of it, mm-hmm. okay? 75% of it is going somewhere in the same type of account that you're talking about,
okay.
right?
Mm-hmm.
To accrue that interest, 1%, 2%, 3%, 5%, 10%, whatever it is, okay? It's going there. It's untouchable. And essentially, almost like a professional athlete living off their endorsements, and I know Shaquille O'Neal did that for a very long time. I know LaDainian Tomlinson, a teammate of mine, between Gatorade and Nike, his overhead was high.
He still has an advertisement in the stadium down there.
My whole point. Okay, so he like
what was it for
the $6, $7, $8, $9 million that he was making to play football was going somewhere in those accounts that we're talking about. He's living off the $1, $2, $3 million he has in endorsements to pay for his mortgage, to pay for his living expenses, da 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 da, all that kind of good stuff. See, and this is so the $100 million that I get to play with. I think between my wife and I, you definitely would we'd create a foundation. What that foundation would be, I don't know. Something that's near and dear to our heart. I think
set some stuff up for your kids.
Set some stuff up for my kids. $1 million for you. Actually, $1.2 million.
Oh, come on! I'll find you.
$1.1 for Gibbs.
You can have $1.2.
$1.1 for Gibbs.
Dude, you could give me $900.
I know. Okay.
And give him the.
I'll give you a quarter million. There you go.
There you
go. Since you asked for less,
I'm giving you $1 million, Gibbs.
The
thank you, Nathan.
The frivolous young man in me wants to go, I want to go trick off like $3 million like in the next 6 months just doing stupid stuff.
You should have a Millennium Falcon built for you that you can fly.
Oh,
the budget
awesome.
For that film was only $100 million. Like, so how much is a Millennium Falcon?
You're
right?
In. You're in,
I mean,
baby.
$4 million bucks?
You're in.
I mean, shoot, they gave Harrison Ford 20
yeah.
for that movie. Okay, for 400 grand, you can have a million. But all in all, to just bring it up right now, I think the first thing that I would do initially in winning, right, is I would basically fly to Chicago or New York immediately and with no luggage and just basically go buy everything that I would need for my wife, my kids to be able to be dressed up to the T and leave the country for like a month and go do Italy and Venice and Rome and boom, and wow, might as well stop in Paris. Shoot,
yeah,
let's
not?
Go down to Saint-Tropez.
Why
let's rent a boat.
Would you buy a jet and put a big picture of your face on the tail?
No, I wouldn't.
I maybe would
not
get
my
a jet
face.
And put a picture of the kid on the tail.
put his face right on the nose. But all in all, like it's too much because I'm not super into high-end cars. Like, I don't even know how to drive a stick. So, like, you know, getting a Ferrari or a Lambo would be great. It'd sit there. It'd have, like, 500 miles on it because I'd never drive it, right?
You just pay someone to drive you.
I'd want my place, a place in Scottsdale, my dream place in Scottsdale.
But I think the vacation, but then what I would immediately do is I would, you know, sit down and have a serious conversation, go, where do we want to live and what do we want to do and where do we want to be for the rest of our life, and go start sketching out that $10 million house that you're never going to, that it's going to be paid in full, that you're going to have to, that you're going to furnish and you're going to deck out the way you want it to be and live the life you want to live in your home, where you want to be with the people you want to be forever and not have to worry about the overhead.
I like it. I might try to go on a
no
golf
boat
trip.
For me. I'm not a boater.
I'd probably maybe go on a golf trip and try to play like St. Andrews, Augusta, Pebble.
You have to be actually. You can't get on Augusta, no matter how much money you have.
I'm pretty sure you could get onto Augusta if you had
do some business with the right people.
$400 million. I'm
sure you could. Dude, it's like $50,000 for like a membership or something. Perfect. Done. Here, it's in my pocket.
Oh, I dropped that out of my back pocket. Gibbs, will you pay us back $1 million too if you win?
Sure. Why not? Yeah. Here's the thing. I don't know. I don't think I'm coming forward. I'm paying someone else to come forward for me.
You don't want people to know you have it?
No.
Will you let us know, though?
Yes.
Okay.
There'll be like a Christmas check. It's like in that little...
like Christmas Vacation. You're going to be Bill Murray's brother.
Yes. Exactly. There's just no way...
We'll kidnap you with Cousin Eddie, too.
Whatever. If I got $400 million, do your thing.
Well, if you could live in any city in the world right now, what would it be?
I'm staying here.
You'd stay in Cleveland.
Yeah, I'm staying here. I'll get a couple vacation homes. Nothing crazy, but yeah, I mean, I'll have somewhere where I can go and chill out.
I'd stay here.
What am I going to do? I might as well keep working, but I'm going to work on my own terms.
Right.
You don't like it. Oh, well. All right, great.
You don't want me to talk about analytics on Friday? I'm talking analytics on Friday.
Numbers.
It's not an analytics-free Friday today, baby.
You guys could let us know that, too, as well, if you call up today. Number one, would you like to contribute $1 million to us for the entertainment we've provided you on CBD? I'd even throw $1 million to Mo Pedman. The slamming Swede. The Duncan Dutchman. The nasty Norseman.
Maybe to his family, because I don't know if he's going to live long enough with his lifestyle. He's crazy.
It's amazing how quick he is. He's also known as a magician, Mo Pedman. He can make a pizza disappear in thin air. You should see it. It's a good trick. It's a good trick. All right, when we come back, we'll open up the phone lines, 216-578-0850. We can't talk about the Browns. We can talk about everything going on, the coaching search.
We have football again.
We have football again this weekend. We'll talk about that. By the way, Mike Silver is basically knows everything that Hugh Jackson is thinking and is making it seem on Twitter that the Browns have a good chance to get Hugh Jackson, which I'm intrigued by, as you know. By the way, if it is Hugh Jackson, how great would it be that the Browns would be led by Jackson Brown? No?
No.
I like Jackson Brown.
Yeah. And you'd have Hugh Jackson and Sasha Brown.
Running on Empty? It could be the new theme song.
It could be the new theme song. Yes. I like it. Somebody liked what I said. Better chance getting murdered by a vending machine than winning the Powerball jackpot. So you're saying there's a chance. I like it.
More like 1 in 100 or more like 1 in 1,000,000?
Dustin Delata says, if you win, can I get a Dwayne Bowe salary from you?
No, man. That's more than I'm getting.
Joe Yesko asked an interesting question. How could it be the oldest profession? How did they get paid originally? Something to ponder. And the Dent Master says he can envision us winning and pictures of the kid moonwalking in his sleep. He sees it. The kid would be moonwalking all around Berea. Yes. Bob in Millersburg says, Powerball win step one is a no-brainer. Hire Dwayne Bowe as your financial planner.
I think if Nathan wins it, he's getting a tryout with the Cleveland Browns.
I would donate, Gibbs, I want to hug you right now. You're right. I would make a donation to the Cleveland Browns Foundation that would be sizable enough to get me my dream of one series. One series in the fourth quarter of the fourth preseason game.
I just want to be there to watch it in person.
I mean, could you imagine though, for what if I threw a screen pass to a running back who made like the greatest run ever and scored a touchdown?
I hate to burst your bubble.
You've seen me. I'm dangerous from 6 yards.
You do fire a mean ball from 6 yards. I thought you were going to break my nose again.
All right, we'll be back with more CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Don't get me started, love. I've had too much to drink.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Gibbs, I got to tell you, I don't know if you could you hear through the mics the genius idea I came up with?
No, I didn't.
So, I mean, maybe I shouldn't spill the beans, but the chances of this happening are less than me getting...
Papa John's is a proud sponsor of the Cleveland
less
Browns.
Less than me getting killed by a vending machine. So this was my idea. So I'm going to do $100,000 to the Browns Foundation to get to play my one series. Okay? And then what I'm going to do is make a side deal with Papa John's. For $100,000. So my checks, you know, Peyton Manning always is like, Omaha, Omaha, you know?
Nice.
My checks are going to be, Papa John's, Papa John's. So I'm going to get my money back, and that's how I'm going to have my checks. They're all going to be Papa John's. Meat lovers, pepperoncini. Papa John's, Papa John's. PapaJohns.com.
Browns brownie.
Browns brownie. Use the code 50 off. 50.
Hey, by the way, in season, that is the greatest deal. Browns 50.
Oh my God!
Day
oh,
after Monday? Every game. Oh my God, is it awesome?
It's the one thing. It's the one thing that I care about. Like being the voice of it gives me great pride. Browns 50. Because when the Browns score, you score with Papa John's. There you go. It's just a little taste teaser. That's what we're calling it. All right.
It's awesome.
It's so good.
It saves the day on Monday, man, when you got running around and you got kids with a bunch of stuff going on. Oh, yeah, it's money.
It is. It's like, I think that it's as good as when you go ahead and use the app at Chipotle, back when Chipotle was a safe place to eat. When you use the
it's
app.
It's still
and just,
safe.
And you just walked right past the whole line. I haven't had it in a month.
I
the
eat it every week. Once a week, baby.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
My store is not contaminated because my store has employees that keep it clean.
Yeah.
Which store is that so I know which store to go to?
Two locations.
There's a new one.
North Olmsted or North Ridgeville, maybe.
Yeah.
Money. Perfect.
North Olmsted, Great Northern Boulevard?
Yes, sir.
Got it.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. We're 10 minutes away, folks, from the return of the notorious VIC to Cleveland Browns Daily. Chris in Worcester.
Sir.
What's up, man?
Hey, what's up? Yeah, I got a take on what I would do if I hit the Powerball. I'm looking at two tickets right here. You know what I would do?
I don't.
And you might laugh at me, but I would cut a check for $300 million, and I would put Jimmy Haslam's name on it, and I would say, I will give this to you if you will let me coach the Browns for 1 year. And I would show, you
it's
know, what a coach is all about.
A billionaire. That's
and,
the only tough part about
and
that.
Many of the
I
coaches
understand that. I understand that.
You might need more than 1 year, though, too, because it's a process.
It's right. I can show improvement in 1 year. I'm not promising to win a record, but I could go better than 3-13 because I would not accept that.
Let's go, Chris. I hope you win, Chris. We'll see you around the office. And if you need some overflow for the people here inside the Dog Bowl and Berea, you know where to drop it. AJ in Sandusky.
Hey, Nathan, Matthew, what is more likely to happen? The Browns going 16-0 or me winning Powerball?
Ooh. I bet statistically speaking, the Browns going 16-0 is more likely.
I agree. How much more? Don't know.
Maybe we'll ask the guy. We'll ask when we get our guest here at 2 o'clock. The head of stats and analytics. I'll ask him that. I'll ask him what is more likely right now. Is it to win the Powerball or is it to have the Browns go 16-0? Are you saying next season or just ever?
Oh, Oh, no, of course. Thank you.
All right, we'll ask Ben Alomar. He's our guest at 2 o'clock. Great article, by the way. Definitely check it out.
Hey, Nathan, quick question. Have you ever played Westfield Country Club?
I have. A fine track. I enjoy it.
I shall be joining this year, sir.
Oh, you will be? And good. You're going to love that. My buddy Ryan Novak, shout out to Novak, Novak Insurance. They always play out at Westfield every year. They have a big Westfield thing down there. Westfield Insurance, obviously, is why that was built. Good stuff. I like it. He is gone. Yes, 6 minutes away from the return of Vic Carucci, 2 o'clock. It's time for our guy, wrote the article, Ben Alomar, the director of sports and analytics for ESPN. He is going to be with us then. I'll tell you what. This is exciting. People are excited about what's going on. See, Dustin Delotta gets what I'm doing. Check, check. Watch 54. Garlic sauce. Garlic sauce. Yeah. Come on. How has this not happened in the NFL, by the way? How's Peyton Manning not started saying Papa John's as opposed to Omaha?
I think because their focus is on winning a football game.
It's just a word. It's just a term.
Yeah.
I could go out there and I could decide.
The same way that you're
in
saying,
in honor of you, I would want my check call to be Wilhelm.
Okay. The same way that, like,
doesn't change my focus.
Was it somebody used, like, you know, was it someone playing the Packers used discount double check or
yeah,
the Packers
like,
used
you some
check
funny
about
thing
another
like that.
Team?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I like that.
All right.
I think the check should be funny.
All I know is if I were on defense, any check that I'd have defensively in playing the Indianapolis Colts with Peyton Manning or the Denver Broncos would be Omaha.
Yeah.
Omaha?
For sure.
Or Apple. Apple is their code word to flip the play.
Oh, is that a little inside tip from your day?
It is.
From back in the day?
It is. So next
Apple.
Week, whoever plays the Broncos. Apple.
Ooh.
Gibbs.
Yeah.
Would you want to coach the Browns if you won Powerball?
No.
No, I don't think so.
That's way too stressful.
That seems like stressful, yeah.
I'm happy in the role I'm in. Travel with the team, put together the pregame show, run the game, broadcast, do my thing, man.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's,
I agree with that.
That's all I need to do. I'm in. It's a great game.
Yeah, I think that it's like more money, there really is more problems because there's more pressure. You feel like
– I've heard
and
I think, somebody said that
yes.
before.
What's his name?
I don't know what they want from me, but it's like the more money we come across, the more problems we see. Yes.
A good rap.
Thank you. That was not a rap. That was more like a ballad.
I know. That's why I said it. I just think, like, you know, the amount of stress with what with the number of people that have eyes on you with what you're going to do with it.
Yeah.
And to feel like you have to constantly be doing these, like, very advantageous, like, you know, living this large life.
I wouldn't feel that I had to live a large life.
I'm not saying you, but I'm saying the influence would naturally gravitate to you to make you feel that way.
I think I would want to play golf with Larry David.
Who's that?
Oh,
jeez.
And we're back to the offseason.
And now you need to know that's the creator of Curb Your Enthusiasm and Seinfeld.
Oh, I like Seinfeld.
Thank you.
I don't know if you can say that you like Seinfeld. You don't know who
Gibbs, do you
is.
Like Seinfeld better than the show that Nathan keeps talking about?
Yep.
Okay. That's 2-1 because I've never seen. What is it? Curb Your what?
Enthusiasm.
Oh, okay.
Unbelievable. 216-5.
You have a coaching search. Talk football. That's what Bro Cavan just tweeted at us.
We do have a coaching search, Bro Cavan. That's why we're bringing in. That's why we're bringing in Vic Carucci.
Yeah.
Talk about Doug Marrone. So far, we've interviewed Doug Marrone, Terrell Austin, and Adam Gase. Word is that the Gase interview went very well. The Gase is into what we're doing in terms of an analytics standpoint.
Did you guys get bit by the fake Jay Glazer tweet that Gase was going to Philly today?
I did not.
That was this morning.
No.
Oh, yeah.
I think what'll be interesting is, though, I would think what's got to be interesting for Gase is I would think that most teams in the NFL that would be interested in Gase would also be interested in Hugh Jackson. And Hugh Jackson has 3 interviews lined up for Sunday. So unless you were completely blown away by Gase and that you decided he had to be your guy, I don't think that you would see Gase get an offer from those teams until they've interviewed Hugh Jackson.
Yeah, I don't necessarily see a team or a coach taking a job at least for the next 10 days.
I think so. I think by after this weekend.
But that's what I kind of meant. Oh, I meant, I guess, okay, in a week's time, meaning yeah. The interviews will happen, the offers will start, the negotiations will start, and then, you know, Monday through Thursday of next week, jobs will start to fall.
Yeah. I think that's right. I think next week when we come back and get another week going here of CBD, it'll be time for coaches to be named. Speaking of names, there is none bigger in the history of Cleveland Browns Daily than the godfather of it, the notorious VIC, Vic Carucci. He is with us when we return on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Brings a tear to my eye to hear that music and know that right now we're going to be joined on the Ohio Business Machines hotline by the man who birthed CBD himself, the one and only notorious VIC, Vic Carucci. Notorious!
Nathan, how you guys doing?
Goodness. Oh, we're good. It has been obviously quite the week here in Cleveland. So before we get to Doug Marone, let's just start. You know Sashi Brown very well. What you think of the decisions Jimmy Haslam has made as it relates to this organization?
Yeah, very interesting stuff, to say the least. And, you know, I'm just talking to a whole bunch of people around the NFL, and all eyes are on the Browns, and not entirely for the reasons that maybe they typically are on the Browns, and it's because of a lot of struggles and losing and dysfunction or whatever those words are. Right now, it's about, holy smokes, this is very different. This is radical. This is out of the box. And I don't even know if there was a box that could contain what is out of this box, because this approach to me is so intriguing and is going to open up a lot of eyes around the league. It already has, to see how this works out. And I get it. I mean, I think at this point they've tried pretty much everything possible to make that team a success. So why not do this? Why not plunge fully into this?
And Vic, you were one of the first, if not one of the first, guys to link Sashi Brown and that internal promotion from general counsel till now, executive vice president of football operations. What led you to believe that he's the right guy for the job, or the writing on the wall, or clues that you had that he'd be promoted from within this building?
Yeah, what happened was, it was an interesting day. Sunday, I was covering the Bills season finale against the Jets. So I was in their press box, and I happened to be speaking with someone there about the Browns situation. So I can assure anyone who was wondering, this did not come out of Berea or out of that building to me, but in the course of a conversation with someone who was there and knowledgeable about what was going on there, this was discussed. This came up, and Sashi's name came up, and I had been aware of course Sashi's love of and belief in analytics, and in talking with this other person, you know, we were sharing that, and he knew even more about that, his commitment to it. And as we kind of were diving deeper into it, you know, it just became evident to me that this would be their move. And not just, I know there were some who, after I had tweeted out that this would be he would head up the football operation, that there were some who said, you know, his name linked to GM. And I said, this isn't a GM thing. When I saw those tweets following my tweet, this would be a bigger picture role. This would be the oversight role of
strategy, etc.
Yes, strategy, setting the agenda for it. So, and yes, what do I think of Sashi? Capable, super intelligent, fair-minded. I mean, a great person, and I enjoyed the time I got to spend around him. Was aware of his reputation as a top sharp mind in the league when he was with Jacksonville before he came to the Browns. I felt the Browns were fortunate to have his knowledge and presence and talent in the building when he got there. And my professional dealings were with him as someone who had a contract when I worked there. He was extremely fair about that. I think that you could only ask for that when you're dealing in those circumstances, and never walk away from those kinds of discussions feeling like you've been done wrong. He was always, in my mind, able to see your side as well as the interests he's protecting, which are the teams.
Absolutely. Talking with the notorious VIC Vic Carucci on here. He's talking about Sashi Brown. So that was piece one. And then on Tuesday, Chief Strategy Officer Paul DePodesta was named. And that's where I think everybody in the NFL kind of said, oh, wait a second. And a lot of positive national articles were written about it, and certainly some pushback from what I would call, you know, old school football people were not in favor of, but certainly an interesting thing with him coming in, and your thoughts on that.
Yeah, and Nathan, it's always going to be like that, right? The old school versus sort of the new school thinking of football.
Sure.
In general. And there is no doubt. I mean, I acknowledge this as an old school person, primarily just because of how long I've been around this stuff, to know that there is a new wave, and analytics is going to be here to stay. It's been used in some form by pretty much every team in the league, some more than others. But I believe, from all indications, and especially with the DePodesta addition, this is going to be far more than any team has ever done, and in many ways a pioneer role for this Browns team. And my feeling is that I'm open-minded enough to see where it can take things. The criticism is going to be out there, obviously, and especially for
sure.
A club, you know, for a club that has the history this one does. But the praise is coming from a lot of new wave thinking. Those who are younger in this business of evaluating and analyzing the league, and who utilize, who go to sites like Pro Football Focus and rely on those rankings and say, hey, this is how I'm formulating a lot of what I'm going to write and say in the media.
Absolutely it is, and that's what I think is so interesting about it. It's you know, when you and I would talk a lot of the times when we were back here, and I remember just being kind of struck that, wouldn't it be an interesting experiment to throw some serious kind of intellectual capital and horsepower at the football side of it and see if you can marry that with the traditional scouting and achieve a better result? And I think we're going to have
right.
an opportunity to find that out now with the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, and Nathan, that was the thing that struck me too, is you had those resources in the building. Alex Shiner brought in Ken Kovach and that
yep.
whole crew. And they were there, and they I don't know if they're still located where they were, but I remember, you know, I'd walk past that area down the corridor and see them at work, but wondered how much are they being truly utilized. And I got the feeling, especially when Ray Farmer came in, when Mike Pettine was there, that they weren't, that there was a resistance or at least a limited use. And I don't think, in fact, I'm pretty positive that isn't what Alec had in mind. And also getting Jimmy Haslam to commit those resources to bring that brain power into the building and bring those people into the building. And I think when you've got that, you might as well, you've got that tool, you might as well use it, or at the very least blend it into what you're doing now.
Absolutely.
Can you do an overhaul in one off season? And,
no.
And I think that would be a mistake. I think there are still scouts working for the Browns preparing for a draft, because that train doesn't stop running.
No.
It's coming up very soon, that have been using methods that are going to be different than the ones that are going to be incorporated by the Paul Podestas, DePodestas, et cetera. But at some point, yes, the marriage is going to occur, and then it'll be interesting to see what percentage is analytics, what percentage is the traditional.
And Vic, the next task at hand for Paul DePodesta and Sashi Brown, of course, is hiring a head football coach. So for you personally, and again, as you have your ear to the streets on everything going around, not just there in Buffalo and the surrounding area, but throughout the National Football League, they've had a couple interviews. They have a few more lined up for this coming weekend. What are some of the names in your past history and understanding the direction this franchise is now going that you think would be the best fit? Because it's got to be the right head coach to operate under the parameters that are now being set by Sashi Brown and Jimmy Haslam.
Yeah, well, I think the number one priority should be find the smartest guy you can bring in there. Now you say, well, duh. But I don't mean that to be as obvious as it sounds. I mean, you've got to put value on that person's ability to see the big picture. He does not have to be, and nor do I think the Browns expect any of these candidates to be Mr. Analytics Coach, because I don't think that guy exists among the the usual suspects, if you will, of people with some coaching experience in the league, either as head coaches or coordinators or longtime assistants, whatever. But on the list that I've seen out there in the media that they're looking at, none of them to me is a person who is fully embracing analytics. That said, I think you need, though, someone who is open-minded enough to understand that is part of how players will be selected, but also presents to the interviewers ideas that lead them to believe that this person can work with it and make it mesh with his vision of how a football team needs to be put together and what he needs to work various systems. You're still going to play systems. Analytics does not dictate 4-3-3-4. It doesn't dictate, sure, you know, a more spread attack versus power attack, et cetera, et cetera. But it does help you make decisions on the types of players you get. And then I think you need that head coach who knows then how to help construct the puzzle.
Notorious, we know that you are plugged into the National Football League, not just the Bills, but everything around the league. What are you hearing on these coaching searches? And if you were to pick right now, who would you want for the Browns, and who do you think is likely to end up here?
Well, one name that was mentioned, and I've been asked about quite a bit from Cleveland media, is about Doug Marrone. I covered him last year,
sure,
for most of his, because I didn't get here until about a quarter of the way through the last season. So right. Doug Marrone is interesting. I would classify him as a non-analytics person by and large, because when questions by the media would be asked about player rankings on Pro Football Focus, for instance, he would challenge those. He wouldn't dismiss them out of hand, but he would say the flaw with that is they don't know the assignment. They don't know the details of the coverage or the whatever. And they couldn't possibly. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt. Now, does that mean he doesn't like or believe in that? No, it just means that he's got a balance here. He's a crusty pro, very crusty person, and has an edge. I wouldn't call him by any means the communicator that Petten was, which I know media love. We all did, because it's great to have a person who could illuminate the way Mike did. But that's not Doug, and he's very old school in many ways. He's also a former lineman and a former offensive line coach. He sees football from the inside out. Some people think that's a plus. Others maybe see it as a negative, because you don't have maybe the wider lens that's necessary. Adam Gase is another name that I think is, and I know from the past, was someone that the Browns were pursuing and couldn't really get, I think, on earlier interview dance cards. I think he could be open to that. Now, the work he did with Jay Cutler helped validate a lot of his career, which had that asterisk that he was a caddy pretty much for Peyton Manning in Denver, not so much in Chicago. So that's somebody, I think, to look at. And the younger guy, and Doug isn't all that old either necessarily, but I would keep that in mind and finding a candidate that's going to grow with the entire program.
Doug, last one for me is I'm sorry, Vic, I have Doug on my mind. Vic, why do you think that Doug Marrone now, with this regime and the changes, and not Doug Marrone 3 years ago when he ended up in Buffalo, and then why also are there some reports, you know, via Cleveland.com, and I read it via Bleacher Report, that Doug Marrone would have to be sold to some of the players here in this locker room in Cleveland?
Well, first of all, I think any coach is going to have to be sold on a job, period. And I know some of the conventional thought was the radical use of analytics would make it a harder sell to coaches versus the coaches being, you know, or the team having to be sold on the coaches. But I don't buy that at all. They're going to want the opportunity. What coaches look at is what gives me the best opportunity to win, and the personnel is in question for sure. You didn't get in this mess where you have to make these changes because the personnel was great. So there's going to be significant turnover, and that if you've got other opportunities and things are equal, I'm sure a coach is going to look to a place that is more, has more pieces in place. To your point about why not before and now, hard to say on that one. I think he, again, maybe looked at the circumstances in Buffalo, although he came into you would call it a very unstable ownership situation because Ralph Wilson was nearing, you know, kind of his final days on this planet. And then he had that clause built into his contract that maybe this was the biggest selling point of all, because maybe he viewed both the Bills and Browns opportunities as a stepping stone to something else at the time. And that something else, as we later found out, was a chance, he thought, to get to the New York Jets. And he left the Bills after, surprisingly, walks out 2 days or 3 days after the season because he exercised a clause that allowed him to take $4 million with him to basically quit. And then he thought he was walking into, and he could keep that money, by the way, and walk into a new situation with the Jets, but that didn't happen. So he was biding his time with Jacksonville this past year, and now he's taking another bite at the head coaching apple.
Talking with the notorious VIC, Vic Carucci. Notorious, one name you didn't mention and one that certainly has been intriguing to me is Hugh Jackson, who I think will be one of the hottest candidates this year. He's coached before in the National Football League, obviously done a great job in Cincinnati. What are you hearing about Hugh Jackson?
Yeah, well, by not mentioning him, certainly it's an oversight. It's not anything but that. He is in my view, a top candidate that you have to talk to. I don't get what happened with Oakland, that one and done that he had there made no sense to me. The guy should have had more time there, but maybe that speaks more about the Raiders than Jackson. I think he's done remarkable things, as we all know, with the Bengals, with Andy Dalton, and now with AJ McCarron, and he will make potentially more statements about what he's about as these playoffs unfold. He is a great seller of himself. Some of the rap on him, Nathan, as you've probably heard, is what is his great selling ability and what is really great coaching, and how do you separate those two? And that'll be a challenge for those interviewing him. I think there's a very difficult job facing Sashi Brown and whoever, Jimmy Haslam, of course, and whoever else is in that interview process and I think, if I'm not mistaken, I heard a search firm will be part of this as well, to help guide through these interviews. This is critical. And, you know, Bill Polian and I collaborated on a book that came out last year. Bill,
yes.
I'm not so much for the cheap, unabashed plug here, but there's the part that my favorite part of that book was Bill's 11 points that he put together in his operations manual that he shared in the book of what you go through when you're a checklist, when you're interviewing coaches. And I dare say that if I'm trying to hire a coach now, I'm referring to that list because there's a lot of good stuff on there that's thorough and should be addressed in your mind so that you can come away with as good a picture as possible before you take the pen and have it meet the paper.
Absolutely, and that's what the Browns are looking to do as their coaching search will continue through the weekend. We know they've got interviews on Sunday coming up with Paul Gunther, Hugh Jackson, and Sean McDermott, the defense coordinator of the Carolina Panthers. All right, Notorious, I got to ask you, how much self-satisfaction and joy did Rex Ryan get from knocking the New York Jets out of the playoffs?
Oh, it was pretty big for him, but I think it also was a little bit of a bittersweet situation too, because it his whole goal was for that game to be for the knockout punch, and then the Bills would advance to the postseason. So the fact that it was just one-sided and meaningless, that he had a roster that was by that point filled with a lot of backups because of a massive number of injuries that they were dealing with, I think, tempered it somewhat. But yes, he was happy. It probably was helpful to him because he was under fire this year. I mean, didn't even make his honeymoon, did not last very long with fans being outraged about players openly complaining, defensive players about the system, defensive system that didn't fit them. And that was like an ongoing narrative the whole season. And the fact that it's now 16 years in a row. I know no one in Cleveland wants to hear about the woes of the Bills, but I'm just saying they've got company in their misery.
Vic, one other woe, and I know we're going to let you go here in a bit, but it'd be tough for us to get through a segment without asking you about the big woe we have here in Cleveland, which is Johnny Manziel. Just your overall take on his play, you know, when he had consecutive starts, if you saw him taking the steps that others here locally saw him take, and then ultimately, do you think that his actions at the end of the season will lead to his demise here in Cleveland?
Well, I think that's the unfortunate part.
Have you seen the video, Notorious?
Wait a minute, which video?
The one where he's supposedly wearing a wig. And I want to know, was that a wig and a fake beard you were wearing in the 30 for 30? Or was that the real deal back in the day?
This was the best part of working with you. You always got me to get the gut laughed on. Okay. I did see a still photo of Johnny in the wig. Mine wasn't a wig, unfortunately, and you know, I it made me long for, in some ways, what 1992 was all about, with hair and dark hair, no less. and it was so funny, the reaction in the Bills locker room. Richie Incognito, for one, says, "So I'm sitting there, and this thing's on TV, and I look up, and I hear a voice, and I say, that's effing Vic, that's effing Vic. You know who that is? That's effing Vic right there, yeah." You know, and they were just laughing. They couldn't get over how different that look was 100 years ago. But to the questions about Johnny, he is, to call it an enigma, it doesn't begin to describe it. Nathan knows this, and we discussed this on the air, Matt, often, that my problems primarily were with him as a player who I didn't think his skill would translate to the NFL, right, Nathan?
Yep. Said that. And you were worried about the circus and them becoming the Cleveland Manziels, which in some ways has played out, Notorious.
So those two things. Now, I will full disclosure, I never thought it would hit some of it would hit any of those real deep problematic lows that he's hit with his personality, or, you know, with his personal life. And I still say, I empathize. Others say he's a knucklehead. Forget about him. But he's a human being too.
Sure.
And I didn't get to know him very well in the brief time that I was kind of with him before I ended up leaving. But just my experiences were, hey, he's a kid, and hopefully he can outgrow whatever those other issues were. But the hole just seemed to be getting deeper and darker for him now. I don't think, Matt, and I'm not confident at all that there's a good future for him in Cleveland. And I would say at this point, the encouraging stuff that might have showed up with his play should probably be utilized somewhere else. I don't think it's Cleveland is going to be the place where that's going to be reinvented into something good. I think that circle has really gone around and around enough to lead me to believe that it would be move on time.
Notorious, last one, Powerball, $800 million. If you win it, what are you doing?
If I win Powerball and get the $8 million, something I don't.
$800 million.
$800 million. I know that it doesn't, but after taxes, no.
Only 400, thing, yeah.
All right, for the first thing I'm doing is I'm driving to I'm getting in a Ford, which I still drive, by the way.
Yes.
From Liberty Ford.
Yes.
I'm taking the 90, and I'm picking you up, and then we're going out and having some Italian.
I love it. Let's go. We'll get some Italian. We'll put some au jus in the back of that truck and have a party.
Exactly.
Notorious, always great to talk to you. Always. People on Twitter are calling for this to be a regular, a once-a-week segment in the off-season. So we'll try. We'll have our people talk to your people and see what we can do.
Exactly. So we can probably figure that out.
I would certainly love it. All right. The Godfather of Cleveland Browns Daily, Vic Carucci. Follow him on Twitter at Vic Carucci, Notorious VIC. When we come back, we will dive into that crazy thing known as analytics that everybody's going wild about here. When we talk to a man who is at the forefront of that, Ben Alomar, the director of sports analytics for ESPN. He wrote the great article about how Paul DePodesta can help the Browns today. You can check that out at ESPN.com. He'll be with us right after this.